Brethren, please turn to the Gospel of Matthew today. I will say to you that the verses that I want to read to you are not in the Sermon on the Mount. We've been on that for a couple of Sundays now, or three maybe. But today, I want us to read verses that follow immediately on the heels of the Sermon on the Mount. And they will describe for you something that Jesus did when he came down from the mountain. Would you please turn to Matthew 8? Matthew 8. I'm praying, asking God how many verses to read. I was going to try to preach to you on 5 through 13, but then I read 1 through 4 as a sort of a preface to 5 through 13. And when I got to studying it and outlining my sermon, I spent all my time on 1 through 4. So it 1 through 4 describes a healing event that Jesus did for a man who had leprosy. Apparently, right after he came down from the mountain. And 5 through 13 describe a healing event that Jesus did for a man whose servant was sick. They'll be both familiar to you. I'll read all of them, all the verses, but I won't, I'm sure, try to get into 5 through 13 today, because as I was studying the first four as a sort of a prelude to the other, if God showed me many things in 1 through 4. But I'm going to read them all today. And so that, as I feel right now, maybe next Sunday we can do 5 through 13, study 5 through 13. Two events where Jesus healed, used his omnipotent power to heal. Before we go in 8 verse 1, would you just go back to chapter 4, and let me just read one verse as background. Chapter 4, verse 23. This is right before the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew says this about Jesus in chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. As we read in the early chapters of Matthew, we see that what Jesus is doing, brethren, is he's teaching. He's been baptized, you know, we studied that. He came to John the Baptist in the wilderness and presented himself for baptism to fulfill all righteousness. He's been baptized. He's gone up into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. Remember, we studied that. He's been baptized. He's been tempted. He resisted temptation. And he begins now teaching and preaching and healing. Three wonderful things. What better things could any man do, especially the Son of God? And then, that's chapter, end of chapter 4. And then we have 5, 6, and 7, which is the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 5 begins saying he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him, and he taught them, saying. And then we have the Sermon on the Mount, and I believe I just spent two Sundays trying to preach to you on excerpts, things that he said in that sermon. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Many go in there. And then, I believe it was last Sunday, whatsoever things ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is the law summed up. And what everything the prophets amplified about the law, what they wrote and said, it's all summed up in that teaching of Jesus. Now go to chapter 8. when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. New paragraph, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Oh, what wonderful words, what wonderful words. God, open them. God, open your word to us. Oh, Lord, give us the right thoughts, all of us. Teach us. Oh, Lord, you've been gracious to give us Matthew's account of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Oh, God, as we open it, open our minds, our spirits to receive it, O Lord. Teach us. May we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us. We need you to be our teacher, our instructor, our guide. Jesus said he would guide us into all truth. O God, open your truth to us now. Help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Two instances of Jesus healing. As I understand it, the first man that was healed, we're not specifically told this, but I think probably we can safely assume this, that he was a Jew. The second man that was healed, the centurion's servant, I would say to you, was a Gentile. One lesson in that is God has people in every nation. He came to the lost sheep of Israel, but also the Gentiles, brethren. We have a Savior, and that's Christ Jesus. Two instances of healing here. We studied the first one today, God willing, and maybe the second one next Sunday. Let's read again 1-4. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. That's Matthew 8:1-4. the generation, what do you call it? The generation, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. This is Jesus in his generation as he lived on earth and what he did, an account of it. When Jesus was come down from the mountain, he was on the mount. I read some things that said we don't know exactly where he was, somewhere in Galilee, up on a mountain. I imagine if you go to the Holy Land today, somebody that you pay to guide you would probably show you the mountain. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they got the right mountain or not. It doesn't matter. What matters is, brethren, Jesus came. I was writing my notes and this thought came to me. He came down from the mountain and he healed this leper. One of the first things he did, apparently. Jesus came down, brethren. He came down to us, didn't he? You can see a parallel there. Maybe I can. I think I see it. Maybe you see it too. Agree with me. He came down from the mountain. Great multitudes followed him. Jesus came down from heaven, brethren. He said, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He came down. Came down, brethren, to save his people from their sins. He condescended to come to us. He came to save his people from their sins. When he came down from this mountain, great multitudes followed him. Big crowd followed him. I think about that and I think, well, that's a very good thing. That's really good. And then I think a little further and I say, well, why were they following him? Some, the few there be that find it, some followed him, brethren, because they saw him as their Savior. They saw him as their guide. They saw him as someone that would bless them and help them. They saw him as someone who would save them from their sins. Maybe there were others also that followed him because he was a new and novel teacher. Maybe there were some that followed him. In one place he says, you follow me because of the loaves and fishes, because I feed you, because I give you things for your body, all of which are good. Maybe different people followed for different reasons, but brethren, his disciples followed him for the right reason. Not to condemn others, but just say, brethren, we ought to follow him, brethren, because he's our Lord and Savior. We ought to follow him and follow his teachings. Multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper. Oh, brethren, I just about cry when I read that. This man, this leper comes to him. He comes, I wasn't there, but I visualize it as Jesus walking and many people around him, certainly many following him, behind him, literally following him, walking along. I picture it as a road or trail. Lots of people, and this leper, brethren, breaks through. I visualize it as he comes the opposite direction and boom, there he is, right in front of Jesus, through the crowd. Maybe the crowd parts when he comes up. You know why they would? You know why they would? Leprosy. Leprosy. A dread disease in this day. Still is. Dread disease in this day. A terminal disease. What? Not only were you in danger, brethren, maybe of contracting it if you get around somebody like that, if you touch them or if they touch you, but you just don't, you don't. The ceremonial law said stay separated. Quarantine the lepers. They were under a law, brethren, that they could not approach clean people, people that weren't infected with it. I think they lived together. They were ostracized. They were quarantined. They're leper colonies. I think we still have them today in parts of the world, places in the world. But this leper, this man, brethren, he burst into the crowd there and is right in front of Jesus. A leper. And he worshiped him, it says. Now, when I think of worship, brethren, I think of what we're doing now. We come into the church building and we open the hymns and start singing. That's worship. Here, worship, brethren, means, I think, it means this man came and he fell down before Jesus. Probably literally. Maybe prostrate, maybe flat of his face in the dust, maybe. He acknowledged Jesus, brethren, if nothing else, as the one that had the power to cure him. When no one else did, no other man or woman on earth could do a thing for this man as far as a cure, but he knew Jesus could. And he says to him, Lord, and you see it's a capital L, Lord. Maybe that means the Lord of heaven and earth, the one that's all powerful. Maybe it means Savior to him. He certainly wanted saving, I'll tell you that. He wanted saving from this leprosy, I'll tell you that. I know that. If thou wilt, Lord, if it's your will, you can make me clean. You can heal me. You can get rid of this dread disease that I have that no one else can. All you got to do is will it. That amazes me about God. He simply wills something and it's done. In certain cases, he speaks things and it's done. In certain cases, he takes an action and it's done. But the bottom line, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Clean. There's a lot in that right there, brethren. He means cure me. You can cure me. I've preached to you before about leprosy. I don't know in what context, but I did some reading on it in a commentary, and I think it's John Gill's commentary. He's got several paragraphs in there describing leprosy, and it's awful. It's awful. Leprosy, the physical aspects of it are terrible. But leprosy in Scripture, in addition to that, brethren, it represents sin so often. It represents the sin that's incurable in us, that we can't cure, and no man can cure, and no thing can cure. We started out this morning in Bible study. We sang a hymn about something that's a cure for the curse of sin, the leprosy in us, in our spirits. What can wash it away, we ask in song. What can wash away this leprosy I have? What can do it? It's a rhetorical question. It's a wonderful question. What can wash away my leprosy? What can wash away my sin? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can cure this man? He knows it, brethren. What can cure me of this leprosy? Nothing and nobody. But this man right here that just came down off this mountain. Jesus, what I've heard about him. His miracles. The miracle worker, the prophet of God, the Savior. He can do it. Lord, he breaks the law, brethren. He breaks the ceremonial law. Maybe it was the civil law. I don't know. But he breaks it because he's desperate to do so. He's desperate for healing. He burst in Jesus' presence. And he says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. You can make me whiter than snow. You can get rid of this. I don't know how old he was, we're not told, but I guess there was a time in his life when he was clean physically, when he didn't have leprosy, I suppose. I don't know. But he wants to be clean. When I was going over my notes and practicing my sermon, I thought about this. I said, I'm going to say this. Some of us, we work in offices and schools, and we don't get our hands dirty very much. Not to say that's good or bad, but all of us, from time to time, we do things. We work in the garden or the field or the dishes, and we get our hands dirty. We went to this wedding last night, and we ate at a reception, and I was getting Jan's plate and my plate, and the lady beside us was, her husband's deceased, and so I took her plate. But you know, I was careful to hold them by the edges. I didn't want to get my hands dirty. Sometimes when I'm working and I get my hands dirty, I just have to have them dirty because I have to keep working. I don't want to stop. But usually the first opportunity I get, I go wash my hands. Just something about, it's a good feeling, isn't it? If your hands are dirty, they get dirty. We have to do work. We do work. We do things. You get them dirty. But it sure does feel good to get them wet and put some soap on there and rub them good and rinse them really good. It's a good feeling. That's nothing, brethren, compared to this man right here. He says, if you will, you can make me clean. You can heal me of this dread disease. Matthew, God inspires Matthew to give us this incident right here, this account, to teach us, I think, what a blessed man this man was through Jesus, and how blessed we are through Jesus. Look what he did in verse 3. Matthew doesn't say, well, Jesus stood around a little while and he thought about it. Jesus asked somebody what they thought he ought to do. It looks like to me that, brethren, just as soon as that man came into Jesus' presence and fell before him and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. The next thing that Matthew says is Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. I remember reading this before and thinking, well, that's pretty significant that Jesus would touch a leper. And I think I commented on it to you. At least I thought about it a little when I read it. But brethren, there's a lot in this right here that Jesus touched the man. Sometimes Jesus healed, brethren, by speaking a word or words. On one case, there was a demons in a person, or a demon or demons, and he said, come out of him. Words. Other times one time he spit on the ground, didn't he? And made some clay and put it on a man. Sometimes there were acts. In the 8 through 13, he does it from afar. He doesn't even speak a word that is recorded. He does it all kinds of ways. But in this case, brethren, of all things, a leper who's untouchable, he touches him. I think that's significant. For a lot of reasons, not the least of which I read several days ago. I think it was John Gill, he said this. He said, when Jesus touched that man, he became ceremonially impure. Jesus did, under the law. You know, Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. None of it's going to be taken away until it's time. I mean, the law forbade, brethren, me touching a leper if I was living in this day. Don't touch him, and he's not even to come around me if I don't have leper. But Jesus, when he could have spoken the word, brethren, or done it from afar, he touches the man. Here's a lesson in that. I don't know if it's the main lesson, but here's a lesson in that. You and I, we're sinful. We have leprosy. We have it, and it's incurable, and nobody and nothing can do anything about it. We're outcast. We're like under the ceremonial law. We're outcast. We're outcast from God. When Adam fell, you and I fell. We fell in sin and we became outcast. But Jesus came along, brethren. Jesus came along. He came down from the mountain. He came down from heaven, brethren. And we know, you and I know, that nothing and nobody but Jesus can cleanse us. And so we come to Jesus feeling unworthy and being unworthy. And we say, Lord Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touches us. And in this case that we're reading about right here, Jesus touched that man and immediately became ceremonially unclean under the law. Now, why would he do that? Here's a verse for you. Leprosy represents sin and uncleanness. Jesus healed this man of his uncleanness and his sin. I don't think he would heal an unregenerate person that was lost. I think he was a child of God. Why else would he heal him and bless him here? But brethren, listen to this. This is, you know, it's one of my favorite verses. Jesus reached out and touched this man, And as John Gill says, Jesus immediately then became ceremonially unclean under the law. Leprosy represents sin. You and I were lost in sin, eaten up with sin, sin without, sin within, born in sin, committing sin, 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 sin. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say sin over and over because you know what I hear these days? I hear there are a lot of churches that don't even use that word. They don't like to talk about it. Well, I don't like sin either. I don't like to talk about it. But I do like to talk about a Savior that washed me from my sins. Here's the parallel on that. Here it is. Jesus touched that man and became ceremonially unclean at that moment. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. That's, I think I wrote it down. It's 2 Corinthians somewhere, 5 something, I think. Maybe I didn't write it down. But that's in 2 Corinthians. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus was willing, brethren, to touch that leper and be made ceremonially unclean. Jesus, brethren, was willing to come and be made sin. Now, it doesn't say he was made to be sinful because he was never sinful. He was not even made sinful. He was born without sin, and he never committed sin. We studied where Satan tried his best to get him to sin in the wilderness. But he resisted, and he resisted all of his earthly life. He wasn't made to be sinful. He was made to be sin for us. He was made to be sin for us. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. You see the parallel in that? Do you see a lesson in that? That's the heart of the lesson. That's half of it anyway, that I wanted you and me to see. And Jesus said to this leper after he touched him, I am willing that you be clean. I will that you be clean. It's my will that you be clean. I exercise my healing, cleansing power right now on you. Be thou clean. Oh man, what power. What power. No one else on earth and nothing on earth could do this but Jesus. I will. Be thou clean. And immediately, I love that word. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I will. Do it. Demon, be gone. Leave this man and don't come back. I heard somebody say recently, or I read this, light be. That's what God, who's Jesus is the instrument of God in creation, that's what he did. Let there be light. Light be. Come into existence. Earth be. Oceans be. Leprosy be not. Get gone. And it's done immediately. That's the power, brethren, of our God. Verse 4. And Jesus saith unto him. I think people all around him, but Jesus talking to this man right here. I don't think he whispered it. Probably didn't shout it out. He just says to the man, see thou tell no man. That's always puzzled me. Well, why? Well, one thing I've heard is that Jesus, they're going to mob him if he's doing miracles, and the more they hear about it, the more they're going to mob him. He's willing to do miracles and heal, but he wants the teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. He wants that also. So keep it a secret. John Gill says this. He told him he says this. What he means is, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest. See, in this day, lepers, if I had a sore on me in this day and under the law, and I look at it and I say, uh-oh, wonder what that is. Hope it's not leprosy. What my job was, my duty was to do was go to the priest. Let him look at it. If you read in the book of Leviticus, it tells the priest, if it looks like this, bad news. If it looks like this, wait a while. If it looks like this, he's okay. So they were the law required. That's why Jesus said to him, go take off, go thy way, show yourself to the priest. That's what the law required. Offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. If they were cleansed, they were required to bring a certain offering at the temple and offer it. Animals, sacrifice. Not for sin, but for, I guess, thankfulness that they were cleansed maybe. I don't know. I didn't study that. But when he says, see thou tell no man, what John Gill says Jesus is saying is, go straight to the priest. Don't go to town and tell them about it. Don't go home and tell them about it. Go straight to the priest. Show yourself to the priest. Offer the gift because you are cleansed. Last point. You and I have been cleansed of our leprosy. You and I have been cleansed of our sins. It's only done by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's only been done by the will of Jesus Christ. He came to seek and to save those which were lost. He came to save his people from their sins. You and I are now clean, cleansed of our sins. So here's the question for you. What are you offering in appreciation, in thankfulness, in thanksgiving? What are you offering as a gift? Well, I thought about that last night and this morning, and I thought about, here's what I was going to say. For the last 30 minutes or so, I've been up here offering my gift. I'm doing it. I feel pretty good about it. I feel like I just entered into the narrow way that leads to life. I feel good because God says to me, Mike, this is what I want you to do. This is your job. And today I've done it, a part of it. And I thought of this too. I said, this is what I'm going to say to the people that are out there in the church. I'm going to say, you're doing it too. You're doing it right now. Right this instant. You're doing it. You're offering your gift because of your cleansing through the blood of Jesus. You, brethren, every one of you have presented your bodies a living gift to God. A living sacrifice. You did it. Makes you feel good, I hope. Makes me feel good. But it also lets me know that that's my reasonable service. That's the rest of that verse. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice. That's close, if that's not it, word for word, that's close. Holy and acceptable, and then this part, which is your reasonable service. It's what God expects of you and me. But sure is good to do it, isn't it? It's good when we do it. That's a part of entering into that narrow and straight gate that leads to life. Oh God, give us the grace, Lord, to offer back to you ourselves. You've given us life. You've given us, you've cleansed us. We're clean. You've blessed us. You saved us, oh God. Give us the grace, oh God, to give back the offering that we ought to make every day, day by day. Thank you for that, oh God. And give us strength to do it and to continue on. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And one more thing I was going to mention to you, brethren, was that I'm hearing that some of you are offering of yourselves and your resources to those of the body, some in the body that are in special need. And I want to just say thank you for that. I don't have to thank you. I thank God for it, but you're doing it and I hear it. And I thought when I was practicing, I was going to say, I'm hearing it. I'm hearing it. That's good. But what's important, brethren, is Jesus is hearing it. Jesus knows about it. And God bless you for doing it.